Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Ghar se dola chala la dali ka, kya kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Ghar se dola chala la dali ka, kya kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Tuesday, the 19th of October 2021, which is also the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal 1443. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course, our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhullah. We welcome our beloved engineer brother Bonface, and of course the listeners of Sirius FM and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. To all our beloved wonderful listeners, remember our WhatsApp number for your questions: 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Ustad, it's a beautiful Tuesday morning. Let's welcome you into the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Somebody says, Ustad, my son lives in Johannesburg. I am a single mom, dear Mufti Sahab. Can I fly down alone to come visit him, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nowadays is Umrah season, right? And now we know that people are going for Umrah from various countries. For Umrah, a lady cannot go alone. According to all four schools, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanafis, the Hanbalis, she must go with a husband or a mahram. So you are in Durban, your son in Johannesburg, or vice versa, or in Cape Town, and now in PE, or wherever, and now you want to fly alone, totally haram, unacceptable. Remember that when a person, the lady, flies from one place to another, then she will definitely require her husband to be with her, or a mahram to be with her. Mahram means that person she can never ever marry, nor now nor in the future. For example, her father, her brother, her son, her nephew, so people like that. So for you to go up and down flying, remember Durban, Johannesburg, Johannesburg, Durban, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Cape Town, Johannesburg, all there on your own for a lady, absolutely totally haram. And so many ahad on that, open Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmed. So therefore, that is unacceptable.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, anonymous as well from Johannesburg. Sister says, Gauteng, I am a woman. My husband stays at home and sends me out to work. Is slavery still around, and do I have Islamic rights not to go to work? Anonymous sister, Ustad.
But why did you accept it? You must not go to work. He's sitting on his laurels and he's thinking of Hadi, and he's just wasting time with the TV and playing with his TikTok and his phone and all these type of things there. In Islam, everything the man must do. He must provide, the husband must provide the shelter for you. He must bring in the income, the food and so forth, the medication, everything he must provide, not the opposite way. Yeah, it seems that you providing for everything, whether it is the groceries, whether it is the medication, whether it is the rental or phone account and what have you, water, electricity. So that is totally haram. You must say, enough is enough. He must start going to work and you must stay at home. That That is what Islam teaches us. So you ladies, you must never ever accept that your husband is sitting on his laurels and thinking of Hadi and sitting at home, and you have to go and work. That's absolutely haram both ways. Both ways meaning for you to go and work, haram, and for him to sit at home, haram, and he's just sitting there like a parasite and then living on your income. That is totally unacceptable.
Ustad, the mother says the entire family, her husband and the children, they are fasting today, Ustad, because of course it's a maulud of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ustad,
remember that on a Monday it's sunnah to fast. When Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, why you fast on a Monday? He, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, Yawma wulidtu fi, that's the day I, my Milad Mubarak, my honorable birth took place. It don't mean that if 12 Rabi'ul Awwal is on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday, Sunday, so that is sunnah to fast. First of all, regarding the exact date that Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam Milad Mubarak took place, there's so much academic discussion. Some ulama say 12th, that is famous. Some ulama say 9th of Rabiul Awwal. Some ulama say 8th. So when all these discussions are there, we can't say definitely Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honorable birth and Milad Mubarak took place on the 12th, although that is famous. So we don't say to fast on the 12th is sunnah. We say on a Monday it's sunnah. So remember, any Monday you fast is sunnah, any Thursday you fast is sunnah, and our a'mal and actions are presented to Almighty Allah. So we will say it's fine, you continue fasting, but remember, don't consider it a sunnah. What you should have done, if you are fasting, you should have made intention of qadha fast, because so many people have qadha, but they don't like to keep qadha. They like to keep the nafil fast and voluntary fast and so forth, because that massages the ego. We feel nice that I'm a very pious person. But what about all the qadha that from the time you became baligha, so you must so many fast due to menses or due to illness or whatever. So every male, female, rather we keep the qadha fast and then worry about the voluntary nafil fast.
Someone says, Ustad, I made a very big blunder. It's too deep for me to turn back, Mufti Saab. I have been catfishing a beautiful girl saying, I am an engineer and I am fair. She believes me, Ustad, and now is demanding that our families meet soon. Should I clean and tell her the truth? I am afraid to lose her. Anonymous, bravo, Ustad.
Remember, when anything is based on deception, you lie to her on the internet, you start chatting with her. Just today we did this, you must remember this morning, wherein Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Wala taqrabu zina, do not even go near fornication and adultery. And that is chapter 17, verse number 32. Chapter 17 and verse 32. So all this year, this morning, a brother from Nigeria, he says that please explain to me the way of going around. He's interested in getting married to a lady. So I told him there that whether it's in Lagos or Abuja or wherever, but from Nigeria. So I told him he must approach the girl's father. He says no, he wants to first speak to the girl. They want to get used to one another. He wants to know more about her. I said all this absolutely haram in Islam, that there's chit-chatting and so forth. Now you went to do that which is haram already. Then to make things even worse, you misled her in the process. You told her you are fair in complexion, which you are not there. You told her you're an engineer, which you are not. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, Man ghashana falaysa minna, whosoever is not of us, whosoever deceives, so he is not of us. So you deceived her. So just cut off all ties, block her and finish up. You must remember that. So because you know when you're going to speak the truth, she will tell you to fly a kite and so forth. So rather that because you involved in so many haram things, my advice to you, if you do it for the sake of Allah, man taraka shay'an lillah awwadahu Allahu khayran min. Who whosoever leaves the haram thing for the love of Almighty Allah, Allah will give you a better replacement. Because now she will say, you lying so much, you're not the engineer, and you said engineer. You said you're fair in complexion, but you're not fair. And now she's naive and a simple Simon, she believed you. And whatever you all are doing, chatting and internet, WhatsApp and whatever else, all that absolutely haram. Wala muttakhidina akhdan, wala muttakhidat akhdan. There is no place for boyfriend and girlfriend in Islam. And I gave you chapter, you must remember, 17, Surah Bani Israel, verse 32. Wala taqrabu zina, innahu kana fahisha. It's something obscene, something indecent, something immoral. So therefore, sever all ties with her.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says here, dear Ustad, that I work late hours. And Mufti Saab, can I come home by Uber as our car is at the garage for repairs? I only live 5 kilometers from home, Ustad. Anonymous.
So remember the way it's under, I understand that if you are a male and you are working and then you come back home with the Uber, so obviously you must look for a male driver and not some female driver. So if you're coming home late at night and so forth, and now there's a male driver and you're a male, so there's no problem in that. But if you're a female and now you're going to come back 10, 11 o'clock at night and so forth, and now you come with a male driver, you, your own common sense can tell you that your working is haram, your traveling with strange men is haram, and remember you're setting yourself up. You must remember where and what the things can happen to you. Late at night, that person can take you where and where. You know all the violence going on in South Africa. You know the amount of rape going on in South Africa, the amount of murder going on in South Africa. So don't be so naive and so simple. So you must remember, therefore Islam says that the place for women is at home. Because once we start telling you to go out, there must be and there will be sexual harassment, there will be gender violence, and there will be people trying to exploit the situation. See all the Western countries. They all are gripped by this. You must remember that. Not one of them can say that all these things are not happening there. So Islam gave you that protection. It's not just today. One sister sends an email to me or a WhatsApp, but I think it was an email. She says that I'm happily married. My husband is good to me. And remember, I've got 2 children or 3 children, but my father is very disappointed with me. Why is he disappointed? Because you must remember, he says you have a degree. You are a pharmacist, you are a doctor, you are this, you are that, whatever it is, some degree she got. So you should be going to work. So I said, there's the problem. The father got no common sense also. So you must remember, common sense is no more common. Your daughter is happy. The husband is providing. He says no, because the Western thinking, you see, people are trained to think just like the non-Muslims. Say, no, you must go and work so you can bring more money. You must remember that whatever is in your taqdeer and in your destiny, that Almighty Allah will give you. And that which is not in your taqdeer and destiny, that you will not get, even if it is right in your hands. Allah will make it such, it will get snatched away from you. So that is the simple answer we give, that we believe, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Good, bad, happy, sad, everything comes from Almighty Allah. And this business that the parents or the husband or whoever encourages that their wife or daughters or sisters must go and work outside from A to Z, all that is haram in Islam.
So listen to this one here. A son of a second wife questioning why the first wife and daughters attended the funeral of their husband and father, Ustad.
So you must remember that if the father passed away, so if the children of the first wife attended, you must remember it is their father also. And how you, as the, you understand, son of the second wife, you attended. So what objection you are raising, you must remember that they also have the right to come. Yes, you must remember, if there are two wives and now the body left of the man, the husband, husband, from wife B, let's just call one A, one B, and now they live separate, separate towns, separate houses, separate everything. Then the wife A, and the body is by wife B. So you must remember, she had no business to leave her home and break her iddah to come to wife B's house. So that is right. So if that is your objection, but if the children came, so you must, is their father, so you must remember that. So then your objection is not valid and is based on jealousy. You must remember that, which is totally haram and unacceptable. So if there is a husband, he's got two wives, and both wives live in the same place, just say Lanesia. So now one wife is in extension 9, one wife in extension 2. So you must remember, the husband passed away there at extension 2. The body will leave from there. So simple, just take the mayid's body there to the wife that is in extension 9 or extension 10 or whatever, and then she can see and everything and so forth. And then the body can leave from extension 2. You don't do it the other way, that she must break her iddat and violate the laws of iddat. Now she has to come here to the house and extension 2 and so forth. So simple, we have to just use our common sense. It's the same place. It's just 1-2 kilometers, 5 kilometers away and so forth. So that is what Islam will tell you to do in those circumstances.
Muftisab, can I pierce a belly ring for my wife for my pleasure, Ustad? I really truly love her, Ustad.
So you must remember, you already got the ring there. You got your navel, so what you want to put other rings there, my brother? So for you to put a navel, another belly ring for you, the husband, for you to put a belly ring for your wife, all this totally haram. This is what is happening to this ummah. Whatever they see on the movies, whatever they see, you must remember, in the Western culture, the Satan, Lucifer, Shaitan comes, he embellishes it, adorns it, beautifies it, and say, but this is very good. So Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, all that is thrown out of the window. So let us do this. It seems so nice. It looks so nice. All this is Shaitaniyat. When the Satan, Shaitan was expelled from Jannah and Paradise, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 119. So then what happened was that you must remember that this is what Allah Ta'ala informs us, that Shaitan took an oath. What oath the Satan took after expulsion from Paradise? وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Allah creates you to normal, that you got navel, you got this, you got that. You say, no, me, I want to make it abnormal. You see? So now put another belly ring, put this ring, put that ring. So where all the shaitaniyat will stop? وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ. And your Shaitan says, I will command them. They must change the creation of Allah. So whether it's the belly ring for the wife or for the husband or for whoever, the children, all absolutely haram in Islam. And why you want to imitate the kuffar culture, the non-Muslim culture? Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. Whosoever imitates a people, you will be part and parcel of them. And remember hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, المرء مع من أحب. A person will be resurrected with whomever he loves. You love the kuffar culture, you will be raised with the kuffar, and your resurrection will take place with them. So think about it properly. Our belief must be, everything of Islam is the best and we must share it with the rest. But today, 70-80% of Muslims throughout the world, Arab, non-Arab, Muslim country, non-Muslim country, 70-80% of the Muslims, they suffer from the inferiority complex. So once you suffer from that, then you want to mimic and imitate the non-Muslim kuffar satanic culture.
Hamid Bhai Ustad, he says he's from India. He says, Mufti Sahab, pre-kam se kapre napak ho jate hai, Ustad. Hamid Bhai.
Masha Allah, bhai, Hamid bhai, aap to bahut gharam aadmi ho. تو یہ بیوی کے پاس گئے اور پھر اس کو ہم کہتے ہیں اسلامی اصطلاح میں اس کو کہتے مذی، میم دال اور یا، ایم اے زیڈ آئی. تو وہ مذی جو ہے وہ ناپاک ہے اور اس کی وجہ سے جو ہے وہ آپ کے کپڑے بھی ناپاک ہو جاتے ہیں، تو استنجا کرنا پڑتا ہے، کپڑے کو دھونا پڑتا ہے، اور وضو بھی لازم ہے، غسل لازم نہیں ہے. یو ڈیڈن انڈرسٹینڈ واٹس گوئنگ آن دے، لیٹ می گیو یو این ایگزامپل آف اٹ سو یو ول انڈرسٹینڈ واٹ دا کوشچن اینڈ آنسر. One day, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated, Kuntu rajulan mazza'a. I was a person that I used to get abundant mazi. So pre-seminal fluid. So before the semen, the fluid that comes out, that you call mazi. So when I just touched Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, so already that mazi starts coming and so forth. Now obviously, I'm the son-in-law of Rahmatul lil Alameen Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I felt extremely shy. So some hadith tells us he told Miqdad radiallahu anhu. Some hadith tell us he told Ammar radiallahu anhu. So possibly he told both. So he said, you go ask Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should a person do in that case? So the master alayhi salatu salam said, you must make istinja, meaning that you wash the private part and so forth properly, thoroughly, and watawadda, go and perform wudu, and your clothing or your underwear or whatever got messed and soiled, so that portion all has to be washed and so forth. So this happens to male and female. You must remember that. So the difference between pre-mazi and mani, the difference between mazi and mani, mani you translate semen, sperm, and mazi you will translate as pre-seminal fluid. So how will you differentiate between the two? When mani is discharged, then you feel totally relaxed and satisfied. Husband-wife relationship or wet dream and so forth and so on. So there ghusl is compulsory. So you have to take a compulsory bath. That is after mani is discharged. Husband-wife relationship, wet dream and so forth. And in the case of mazi, the wudu is compulsory. But not, you must remember, ghusl is not compulsory. To mere bhai Hamid mia, ke aap par jo hai istinja lazim hai aur farz hai, aur ghusl farz nahi hai, lekin wuzu aap par lazim hai aur wajib hai. To you aap yaad rakhe ke mazi ke baad jisko aapne prekam kaha, to usme wuzu ka wajib hai, farz hai, aur jo hai ghusl wo mani ke nikalne ke baad میاں بیوی نے ہم بستری کی وغیرہ جو ہے، تو اس صورت میں پھر غسل لاغ فرض ہے دونوں پر، بیوی پر بھی اور خاوین پر بھی.
استاد، the brother from Pirax, he says, yeah, I promised my wife, dear Mufti Sahab, that she would be my only wife and that I would only sleep with her, nothing else, Mufti Sahab, and I'll give my heart totally to her. If I wish, can I marry again, and what is the penalty for breaking a promise, Ustad?
So you must remember, it depends which type of promise you made. If the promise was this, it was tafweez utalaq, meaning that the wife told you that she is going to marry you, provided that you sign this document and so forth. And even now she can make you do that. That if she, you and she both reach a mutual agreement, that she says she will still remain your wife and you will remain her husband, provided that you don't take a second wife and so forth and so on. And if you take a second wife, then she has the right to divorce herself from you. Then if you get married to the second wife, and she can then use that option if she wishes. It's not compulsory for her to use it, but it is one of the things she can exercise that option if she deems fit and she wants to do so. That in our istilah, our terminology, is called tafwizut talaq. Normal circumstances, the wife cannot issue a talaq. But in this case, where both parties agreed and you delegated the talaq to her, that if you get married to somebody else, she, you are married to her, then she can divorce herself from you. One talaq or two talaq or three talaq, whatever you'll agree on. So you must remember, if that is the case, then she can then use that option. If it was just a promise and so forth, so then that's a sign of nifaq and hypocrisy, that you just lied to her, you told her you will not get married, and now you're going to get married and so forth. So that's a sign of hypocrites. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayatul munafiqi thalath, the sign of the hypocrites are three. Idha haddatha kadab, when they speak lies. Wa idha wa'ada akhlaf, and when they promise, then they break and violate the promise, like in your case, if you get married. And third one, wa idha'atu min akhan, that when they take amanat and trust from people, they commit khiyanat in the amanat, they commit breach of trust. If you open Muslim Sharif, one more quality is mentioned, wa idha khasama fajara, when they involve in an argument and a quarrel and dispute, then they start speaking all Greek and Chinese languages. You understand what I mean? They start swearing, abusing F&Bs and what, they start swearing the mother, swearing the father, start swearing everybody. So all these are signs of munafiqeen and hypocrites. That is what Rahmatul Alameen Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So first one, tafwizut talaq. Second one, promise. So that if you violate, you don't honor it, sign of munafiqeen and hypocrites. Third one, you took an oath and you said, wallahi, I'm taking qasam, that whilst I'm married to you, oh my popi, my darling, my sweetheart, and I'll not marry anybody else and so forth. Now you go ahead and then you marry, then you must feed 10 poor Muslims. You must give 500 rand out. You must remember, to 10 poor Muslims, 50 rand each, for desecrating the sacred name of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So that is what the options are. That is the fatwas finish. But now I want to give you some. One is iftar, the fatwa, the verdict. One is irshad, that this is to give you some brotherly advice. We in this field now, with Allah's fadl, Allah's grace of teaching and giving advice and all, for more than 40 years, hadha min fadli rabbi, this is the grace and the mercy of Almighty Allah, hadha rahmatun min rabbi, this is the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. My brother, just forget this whole thing of yours, of second wife and that. You can't look after one wife properly. You got children from her and so forth, and now you want to take second wife. It will be for you. Quran is saying that. Surah 4, chapter 4, verse number 3. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً, that if you fear you can't do justice between the wives, two, three, four wives, then you just keep the old wife, the first one. Because I'm saying this now, so old is gold, my brother. So just leave all that. Bo paya take you. Now you got suddenly rich. So now you say, let me start parking other places. You want to park in the parking and park in the loading zone also. So all this you will regret. You will lose her, you will lose your children, and every day there will be confrontation. So you're leading a peaceful life. So whenever these type of thoughts come, just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Shaitan comes in different ways. And what is his aim? Surah 2, chapter 2, verse 10. يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ, his aim is to cause separation, talaq, between husband and wife.
Sister says, something is worrying me as I get older, Ustad. My father restricted me from going to university. I work in a place where there is no interaction with opposite gender. I agreed to this lifestyle because I know my parents would be relieved and it's the right way. But Mufti Sahib, I can't help but think, what if I went to university? I could have met my spouse. On weekends, we just at home. No one comes knocking on my door to ask for marriage. Did the right thing, yet I'm alone now, Mufti Sahib. I read namaz, salah, duas, etc. Some days are difficult. I know my reward lies in the year after. Ustad.
So why you want to blame yourself? Why you want to blame your father or your parents and so forth? Whenever we practice on what Islam teaches us, we must have the firm conviction, may Allah Jalla Wala, who created me, He gave me the constitution, He gave us the constitution, the Quran Sharif, He gave us the best of the best, and that is Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to teach us and explain and demonstrate to us practically that how to practice on the constitution. So all these are the wasawis and the waswasa and whisperings of shaitan and so forth. So you, your family members, pass the word around. You're 28, 30, 35 years old. You want to settle down and so forth and so on. So mashallah, there are so many people now. I was in Durban for 5-6 days. So if you take our starting, ending and all, so you must remember that so many people come that I want to get married, or the parent, the father come, Mari Poiriche, Mari Dikriche, Kemanji DI, and my daughter is available and so forth and so. But we don't get involved too much. Why? Because we don't know the families, to be honest. And if things work out, then our people will put you right on the seventh heaven. And if things don't work out, they will crucify you and they'll blame you. So therefore, we're very reluctant to get involved in these things. Yes, if we know the family, we know the boys' party, we know the girls' party, so we will tell you, go speak to them and so forth, and then we will draw and come out of it. So remember, you are experiencing negativity now. Why? Because you're accommodating the wasawis and waswasa and whisperings of shaitan. Every Muslim knows the surah, the last surah, the last chapter of the Noble Quran, and the last verses, you waswisu fi sudurin nas min al jinnati wan nas, that this is the waswasa and whisperings of the Satan and Shaitan. They come in the hearts, in the minds of people, min al jinnati wan nas, from the jinnat and from the people. So what you need to do is this: whenever this negativity comes, read a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, wake up 3 o'clock, 3:15, read 2 rakat, 4 rakat tahajjud salat, in your other salat also read surah 25, chapter 25, surah Furqan, the criterion, verse 74, that is the beginning of the 19th Jews. So you must remember that. And in the first quarter, rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun, oh beloved Allah, grant us our spouses and progeny and children that are the coolness of the eyes, and inshallah Allah Ta'ala will bless you with a wonderful husband, and all their thoughts going of university and all that. So is shaitaniyat all that? Remember, we explained to you, for women to go university in this day and this age, absolutely haram and not permissible.
Well, it's 20 minutes to 12 o'clock. I see many, many questions are coming in on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. Somebody says, your Ustad, anonymous, how can a Hafiza who do marriage counseling, but she left her husband stone to pursue her career? Anonymous Ustad.
So you must remember that when a person becomes an alim, a person becomes a hafiz, a person becomes, you must remember, a qari sahab or whatever, sheikh, sheikha, whatever, and remember that sincerity gets less and less, then remember the shaitan, the Satan gets hold of them, or the pride and arrogance gets hold of them. So then Almighty Allah disgraces them. Allah gave them the great bounty of the Noble Quran, which Quran states, huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un, that it is better and superior than everything of this world, the gold, the silver, the platinum, everything. But this sister, this hafiza, or this hafiz, now they started neglecting the Quran. Now they felt that, you know what, we want to enjoy life and so forth. So we want boyfriend, girlfriend, we want to run around around and make this kind of hairstyle, wear this kind of clothes and so forth, go to the movies, go to the parties and whatever it is. So when we don't make qadr, we don't appreciate the bounties and the favors of Allah, then Almighty Allah mentions both scenarios. La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful to all these bounties that I'm giving you, and you make shukr and you are grateful, then la azidannakum, I will increase my bounties for you. Wala in kafartum, and if you are ungrateful, then inna adhabi la shadid, then remember my punishment also is very, very severe. Therefore, this sister here, what has happened to her? She became ungrateful. And if you want, go open the Noble Quran, you will find it in Surah Ibrahim, chapter number 14 and verse number 7. Surah chapter 14 and verse 7. So what happens now? Therefore, I told you so many, several occasions. Read now also with me. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Oh, you esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, learn this dua. It's authentic hadith. You must remember in Sunan Nasai. Oh, beloved Allah, I seek your protection. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik, that you snatch away your bounties which you gave me. My son is hafiz, my daughter is hafiza. Allah forbid they start neglecting it, they forget their Quran, and then they go and do haram things. So that is what happens in these cases here. So be very, very careful that Allah puts us through these various types of tests and trials as well.
I see Mrs. Adrian, she's with us, Ustad, this morning. She says that she's always following your program early in the morning. But of course, she needs some advice from you. You know that my daughter was divorced, married and divorced the first time. Now she's got a boyfriend, she's got somebody else, but he's a Hindu boy. So please, Muftisab, advise my daughter. She's giving me beans at the moment. Ustad.
You must remember that you, Mrs. Adrian, you have to sit with your daughter and tell her the first time, if I remember correctly, that I always thought that you and your family are white. But then I realized that no, you are not white. Afterwards, you informed us. And she got married to that white person. And before, there was cross-culture problems and so forth and so on. So again, she's falling in the same trap. You must remember that. So you have to explain to her, she's committing, you know, in English what they say is actually the hadith, the saying of the master, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which the Westerners stole. But I'll give you both so you will understand. The hadith sharif, what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yuldagul mu'minu min juhrin wahidin marratain. The true Muslim and true believer will not get stung from the same place twice. See? So one, so in English, what they translate? Once bitten, twice shy. So you must remember that's what your daughter is doing. Now you are not Hindus. So now she wants to, for she. Now this whole boyfriend, girlfriend also, Islamically, is totally unacceptable. So now she wants to say no, that she will stay on Christianity and he will stay on Hinduism. Again, they will have big problems when the children come and so forth and so on, which religion the children will follow. So you need to knock some sense into her and tell her that what she's doing is a recipe for disaster. You must remember that. Number one is this, that she is just, you know, not learning from the lessons of the past. Then second one, she's just boyfriend, girlfriend thing is totally unacceptable. Why must you give so much freedom and liberty to your children? That's another big question mark. Islam, we're dead against this. So you have to use all that. And third one, that you have to explain to her what happens if she get married and the children comes and all these things there. So once you have this cross culture and so forth, then it's always a recipe for disaster. So that is what I can advise you regarding that issue, Mrs. Adrian. And the best for all of you, if you want true peace, you want real harmony, then all of you, you, your your daughter and everyone embraces Islam. So that is our invitation to one and all.
Mrs. Adrian says she's just afraid she mustn't go through a second divorce with Dad.
Yes, but that's what it looks like, you must remember, because she's not learning from her past mistakes.
Somebody says, Ustaz, Jazakumullah for highlighting the point of women going out to work. It is so common for parents and in-laws to encourage the woman to work, and it is so sad because parents become so upset and there is always so much tension created. Allah reward you abundantly for always talking haq. May Allah grant you long life to keep guiding the ummah correctly, Ustaz.
I mean, it's not we. We are here just to explain the Sharia. The Sharia is divine. It comes from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. It comes from Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he, Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, receives wahi, revelation, and the message of Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is global and international for all times, all places, all circumstances. So therefore, we need to propagate this true message and never ever compromise or apologize for it. Speak the truth, even though it's the bitter. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, "Qulil haqqa walau kana murra." So we in today's world getting caught up with the Western culture. We want to choose their recipe, but we want success. But their recipe is a recipe for disaster. We must remember that. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ladli, his beloved daughter, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, in the second year of the Hijrah, during Ramadan, she's just over 15 years old, 15 years and 5 months. So just say 15 and a half years plus minus. So she got married to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them advice. Oh, my beloved ladli, my daughter, everything in the house, you responsible. You are the minister of home affairs. And you, my beloved son-in-law, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, everything outside, you responsible, and you are the minister of foreign affairs. Just to make you understand, I'm using these terms. So that is what Islam teaches us. Not that we start bringing our own laws and now we want to justify the wrong we are doing. That is a serious, serious offense. People who sit on the fence are committing a major offense.
I got married and moved away from my family and in-laws as well, Ustad. I'm staying in an outbuilding behind a business. The place I love has barely any Muslims, Ustad. My husband works from before Fajr till Isha. So the sister says, I wanted to know, would it be advisable to go to the ladies' madrasa that takes place at the masjid between 9 and 12, Ustad?
You must remember that you and your husband, you should have to rethink this whole issue. It's not a healthy situation. From Fajr time, before Fajr, he goes. Nowadays, Fajr is 5 o'clock. When I went today, when I came back, I see Jamaat is 5 o'clock. One, two places is 10 to 5, but others is 5 o'clock. Anyway, so it means that up past 4, 5 o'clock, your husband leaves. And if he comes back Isha time, after Isha, it means he comes back 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So between 9 and 4 only, or 9 and 5, you're alone. The whole day you'd. So where's the security? Where is the. So you need to look for a relocation. The place might not be so safe, and people will time you, and so forth and so on. So that is my first advice to you, that your husband might be getting what he thinks is a good wage, but look at the time, the hours he's putting in, and so forth. Second, or unless he's working two shifts, maybe two different places, I don't know. So anyway, there's one reservation I have. Second one is this, that for you to go to the mosque and all that, not permissible, all these things here. So today people just make everything jais. Now let us look at the practicality. There the Maulana or the Appa or the Muallima is teaching inside the mosque and telling you ladies to come there to the mosque. So what will happen? So after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, your napaki, your menses start. start, and then you're going to must listen. The Apa will say, no, you must come. According to the Maliki school, is permissible. According to this, people will twist and turn things just for their own. They worried about the income, because every student comes, they will not free of charge and gratis. It's a money-making thing. So therefore, they say, no, you must come, and all that. So see how many issues already causing problems. So therefore, I would not really encourage these type of things there. And more important, you need to have a heart-to-heart chat with your husband, that why are you working such long hours? There's hardly any time you are spending with your wife and so forth. And I don't know about children if you have and so forth. So these are the best way to resolve it. Have a jaw, not a war. What we mean, jaw, J-A-W, that discuss it mutually, amicably, and no screaming, shouting, and all that. And then try and resolve the matter. And second one, don't start war, that you start fighting and swearing and all that. So that will not resolve anything, and you won't find any joy after that.
Somebody says, I'm in a bit of a problem. I am a 22-year-old girl and working in Mpumalanga. I wanted to get married about 1.5 years ago. And when I told my father, he took it lightly, Muftisab. He said I should wait for a couple of years before getting married. And now he is just ignoring it, dear Ustad. Sometimes I just feel I just rather take my own life, Ustad.
Remember, this is an indictment upon parents. You must remember, so many a time, the son will come. He is 20, 21 years old. The daughter will come and tell her father or a mother, most probably the mother for the lady, and she's 19, 20 years old. And they will say, no. Amreni means that not now, and all that. So now 1 year, 2 years, now you keep on delaying. So this is from Shaitan. In Islam, you must remember, it's compulsory. We must get our sons, our daughters married as soon as possible. Now imagine you told her not now, not immediately. So now she gets busy on the WhatsApp. She starts speaking to a boy, or the boy starts speaking to girl, all that. So how they get the son, the parents also get the son. So therefore, I quote for you this hadith. You understood? And I quoted it, I think, this morning also. إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. The hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif. When someone proposes for your daughter, your sister, your niece, you are happy with the deen and the belief structure of that person. He belongs to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not to the Qadianis, Ahmadis, Aga Khanis, Kuffar, Shias, and so forth. So then what must you do? And his character is good. So the belief is good, the character is good, and he's got the good temperament, good character, and so on, so forth. So you, the parents, for Zawiju, get your daughter married to him. Let him get married to your daughter, sister, whoever. For illam taf'al, if you don't do that, takun fitnatun fil ardi wa fasadun arif, then you will find mayhem, chaos on this earth. And that is what you are doing, parents. So my advice to you, Betty, and daughter, you're 21 years old, your parents are just turning a blind eye. So you got a cha-cha, you got a kaka, you got a mama-ji, you got a mamu. So speak to your other uncle, speak to your aunties, I'm ready, I want to get married, and so forth and so on. And you know, this talk of you committing suicide and so forth, all shaitaniyat that. You want to go to Jahannam for a long time? So don't do that. You must turn more and more to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and beg Allah, Ya Allah, let the right person come and let me marry immediately as soon as possible with the blessings of my parents. So always say that, and inshallah Allah will open many doors for you.
I see there's a mother here, says Ustad, that Mufti Saab, I'm a Memon, and my daughter, she's 29 years of age, and this is exactly what's happening to our family. My husband doesn't want to let go of his daughter, because, of course, he loves his daughter, but he doesn't want to. He wants a rich proposal to come, dear Mufti Saab. Can you come and see Mufti Saab? I think Mufti Saab knows him as well. We are Memons, Ustad.
So you don't have to come by me. Here's my answer. I don't take all these things. I got no time for all this. I enjoy dhani ke chuja, hane maldar maru lai vat nare to, ta pachi, ichis ke na hane manji chokri bo sukhi huni, kulai khakro laka pati kror pati juryo ai nahi nahu. So what I told her, your husband is waiting for a millionaire to come, and he thinks then only will she find happiness and so forth when the millionaire comes. So now she's 29, Islamically 30 years old almost, and so forth. So the older she gets, the chances will be less for her. So what good is there waiting and all that? So what you are doing, Islamically, is totally haram and unacceptable. You must get your daughter married to a person who will take care of her and all that. The richer they are, vadare musti be waiti. Majority of the time, we don't say all the time, the richer they are, then they will have a girlfriend, they want the mistress, they want this, they get tired quickly, you know, after they deflower their wife and all that, then after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, she gives birth, now the wife is no more slim and trim, then the shaitan comes and put all those evil things. So therefore, my brother, I don't know you, I don't know your wife, I don't know your daughter, so you must remember, but my brotherly advice, Islamic advice, you're in the wrong, and you must let your daughter get settled, even a medium class boy. So don't worry, we'll get married to a millionaire and multi-millionaire. So whatever is in your daughter's taqdeer, I told you my story. We got married, we didn't have cups, we didn't have saucers, whole year we spent in Karachi, no stove, no fridge, no nothing. She used to cook my wife on a primus. After 3-4 months, then the chef brought their Shamim Bhai. Shamim Bhai was another big crook also. When I asked him that how much the rental, he said 600 rupees. So I said, Bijli Pani, he said, Ma, you don't worry about that. Metar laga dunga yaha se waha tak. You know what we call illegal connections. So I told him, Bhai, me, I'm making intention, the 600 rupees is for water, lights, everything. You do. He said, you don't worry, whatever you make your intention is fine. So he did like that. So no fridge, no nothing. And we loved. So this type of things there. So if I have to tell you that, you know, we're going to live like this, you will say, just get out from here. You understood? Then how can you expect my daughter to love? Fridge bine, ekono gal karota. You see? So this type of things here. What you talking? How can my daughter live without the fridge and all this type of thing? So that is marriage. You have to grow in it. Both parties adjust with one another. And the marriage, Allah's mercy will come, not because of the material things. Allah's mercy will come when both parties adopt taqwa, piety. Allah se mangna hai, Allah se manwana hai. So we beg Almighty Allah, and Allah Ta'ala gives us more and more out of His mercy. So think about that, I'm giving you advice from my heart. So inshallah, that Allah Ta'ala sends for your daughter,
Ameen,
a good, pious Muslim, whether he's millionaire or not. That is our advice. Okay, quickly,
The mother says, Mufsab, normally all Mehmans, alhamdulillah, are very wealthy, Ustad.
You must remember that. You can say majority. All right. Okay, the 12 o'clock, you must remember, will be the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. And after that, nice lecture, inshallah, we meet and depart for the pleasure of Almighty Allah by Mufti Hashim Bouda. And then the 1 o'clock Zohar Adhan, 105 to 130 Surah Kahf, and verses 103 to 106. 132, we go to the archive, Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. Then 2 to 3, Madrasa on Aim, Mawlana Zahid Khan. 3 to 3.30, this morning's repeat of the Q&A with Mawlana Arafat and myself. 3.30 to 4, remember this, hijab ki ahamiyat, meaning how important is it to wear parda, hijab, niqab, all that. By Mufti Zarwali, rahimahullah, he's from Karachi, passed away recently also. And then 4 to 5, paradise and the bounties and the benefits and all the delights of paradise and Jannah, Mufti Yusuf Mangera from the UK. And thereafter 5 to 7, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7.30, the repeat of my tafsir, and that will be Surah Kahf, verses 103 to 106. 7.30 to 8, Mawlana Yunus Patel's advices. 8 to 10 will be month after dinner with our brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. So wonderful lineup. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And of course, 4 to 6, a safina to Ilal Jannah. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.